What's good? What's good? We are back. Another live from Vietnam Friday. Music interviews, news, and reviews. And for a few weeks, we've kind of been off with the interviews. You know what I'm saying? I moved recently, so last 2 weeks, I've just been kind of, you know, winging it and just going on rants and whatnot, just talking about music industry stuff. But we got a couple guests on tonight. I just saw one of them pop in. I'm waiting on them to come back. Let me text him. See if he's ready. When you are okay. Before they get on here, though, I saw something recently. What was it? Future and Metro Boomin are kind of like regretting the Drake feud and beefing with Drake. I guess for Metro Boomin, I mean, he's a producer, so it kind of like eliminates you for producing any Drake records in the future, I would say. Waiting on him to come back on. I just saw him a minute ago. Let's see. We got Key to Life there. Let's see. Let's bring him on right now. Key to Life, what's good, man?
Peace. What's the word? You can hear me?
Yeah. I can't see you though right now. Your screen went black on me. And Bogey said he ain't got no sound. He clicked on a couple times. I'm waiting on to come back on.
All right. How about now? You can see me?
Yeah, how you doing tonight, man?
Everything is blessed. Peace. What's the word?
Just out here in Vietnam, man, North Carolina, you know. Thing like I do every Friday, Saturdays, we do the music reviews and whatnot.
Yeah, I've been keeping it tuned, man. I've been watching some of your interviews, man.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, we got I got Just Ice next week, so I'm gonna take him back to the 80s, man. You know, get real old school.
Classic OG.
Yeah. So I guess while we're waiting on Bogey, man, I'm gonna go ahead and just start hitting you with some questions. I like your name. When I first seen it, I didn't catch on to it at first, and I was like, oh, Key to Life, I like that. Like, what's the meaning behind that?
Appreciate it. Key to Life, man. It's everything has reason. So that's a good question. You know what I'm saying? Key to Life for me is anything that I feel that has value and necessity in my life. You know what I'm saying? So everything that I speak about, everything I talk about is just a reflection of what I've gained through gathering my keys. You know what I'm saying? So just to keep it simple, the key is just it's just what you hear from what I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying? Just a reflection of what I've gained through my journey in life, you know?
Now, you, I see you born in Jamaica, raised in New York. I'm pretty sure, like everybody else, you were listening to hip-hop before you got into actually rapping. Like, what kind of made you kind of say, hey, I want to do this myself?
I can't really say that I just said that to myself. I would say that it just came as a natural progression. You know, it's kind of like you learning how to walk, you're learning how to drive. You know, it's something that just came natural to me, man. I'm a direct link to the root of the culture, I would say, you know, because I grew up listening to reggae music in my household. When I stepped out the house, I heard hip hop. And as I've grown and as I walked, and I realized that there's many artists who have a similar cultural background from where I came from. So I would say I'm just a direct link to the root. It just came natural to me. I just started freestyling around people when others, you know, ciphers was being taken place. And I first memorized rhymes really simple, you know, the ones I really liked, and it just carried with me, man. I just became like this jukebox, you know. I just created my own little catalog over time.
Bogey said it. I don't know if we're about to get Bogey on this interview. He said he couldn't hear no sound, but I told him to try again. I guess he said he didn't have headphones. What are you doing your interview on, if you don't mind me asking? Your phone?
Yeah, I'm actually doing it. I'm doing it over my phone. Yeah, you may want to holler at Bogey internally, yeah, because Bogey's kind of new to the whole, you know, this world right here when it comes to this technology.
Okay.
Just hit him up. Let him know to try another browser. You know, whatever
okay.
he clicked on, just tell him go to an external browser. I think he needs to just try another browser. Either if he's using Google Chrome, tell him to try Safari, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
So who are some of your influences?
I would have to start with reggae music. I would say Bob Marley, Dennis Brown, Pete Tosh, you know what I'm saying? Super Cat, Bounty, you know, Vibes Now. All the way to hip hop, I would start with like as early as like, man, I'd probably go Rakim, Big Daddy Kane.
Okay.
Buckshot, you know, just a plethora of artists, you know, I just grew up just admiring over time, you know.
And how would you describe your sound?
My sound is a mixture of then and now. You know what I'm saying? Because I would say I'm definitely, when most people hear me, they say, yeah, you remind me of how I was back in the 90s. But in the same token, in the same breath, you know, the cadence is just really based on the beat. So I could rhyme to something like that. So now, but mostly 90s because it has depth. I would say the combination of style and depth for me, the golden era for me would be like the 90s because of the way the flows kind of progressed and still had messages, you know, so. I would say that's a combination of my style.
So you and Bogey, y'all both live in different states right now. Like, what was the process like recording this album that y'all have?
Oh, man, we tried to keep it as natural as possible, man. It was just conversations, you know. It was a lot of conversations. It was a lot of just everyday conversations, not just music. I always feel like the best songs come together organically, you know, just like we having a conversation right now. You might say something that catches my attention. I might just start thinking about that later. Like, oh, you know, that'd be a dope idea to make a song about. So that's how we did it. We started over the phone and, you know, I got him kind of hit to like the whole Google Meet and Zoom and all of that. So where we kind of created that in studio atmosphere. You know, where we just started sharing ideas, listening to beats, and it just progressed like that, you know.
So y'all basically would like get on a Google Meet and like listen to beats together and then pick a beat that y'all want to do and then kind of go from there?
100%, man, 100%. It originally started with him just linking me. We just having a conversation. He's like, yo, I got this track I think you would sound really dope on. I'm going to send it to you. Let me know what you think. I listened to it. I was like, yeah, that's fire, bro. He's like, yeah. That ended up being Ice Girls in the Tropics. That was the first song we actually recorded. You know what I'm saying? And after that, I was like, he sent me a couple more beats, and we just had a plethora of music. And I was like, yo, we both agreed that what we had was dope, but we were missing some stuff. And we were like, yo, let's take it to like, let's link up on the Google Meet. Let's link up on the Google, on the Zoom. Let's gather ideas from beats, you know what I'm saying, and see where it takes us. And that's how the title of the album came together. We were thinking and thinking. I was just like, yo, this is cooler from Bowls and Keys, you know what I'm saying? It sounds catchy and it has other meanings to it also, you know, but simply it literally went from Bowls to Keys. Yeah, and just like that, you know what I mean? Sometimes you gotta flip and go from Keys to Bowls, you know what I'm saying?
Bogey, man, you can hear us?
Yeah, man. Sorry about the technical difficulties, man. My fucking phone sucks, bro.
It's all good.
But I'm here now. What's good, though? Pardon the delay, man.
It's all good. Keith,
what up, baby?
hit him with some questions. So
I can barely hear you though. Him,
you can barely hear me.
Yo, what are you using to hear right now? Are you using your phone? Are you using your laptop?
Yeah, I'm just on my phone.
All right. So it might be the way that you're using your, it might be the way that your phone is sitting right now. So the what you're listening to, like the speaker, is at the bottom sometimes. So if you want to elevate it, so that way there won't be any kind of distortion coming from the sound.
Yeah, I can hear you just fine. I just can't hear Paul.
Okay. I got the mic turned up kind of loud over here. So what's the meaning? Like you, Bogey, you did a name change, right? What was the whole thinking behind that?
Oh man, yeah, you know, I used to go by D Rhythm when I was with my group, The Last Straws, and School Days, you know what I mean? You know, Miami legend, Miami fan, big up. But after, you know, the Last Straw thing kind of fell through, I just wanted a new slate, you know what I mean? Like, you know, not necessarily out with the old, in with the new, but I was just kind of leaving that era to start a new era, which was a solo, you know, solo thing going on. So Bogey, man, that name, man. I don't know. I was just watching TV one day and it didn't even come from the movie or Humphrey Bogart himself. I was just, you know, scrolling through channels and I just heard that name and it just grabbed me and it just stuck with me. I was just like, yo, you know what? I'm going to use that name. And then, you know, I started getting into looking at, you know, the movies and doing my knowledge on, you know, Bogart and Humphrey and all of that. So I was like, you know, I'm going to be the Black Bogart. You know what I mean? Bogey number one. You know, so that's how that kind of came about.
And what got you into making music for yourself?
Man, the culture itself, you know, just growing up around the culture, man, and being around peers that was already doing it, man. Like, when I got to Miami, man, like, and, you know, I met my brothers, who I'm still brothers with today, you know, B-Dope and my man Sim E. They were already doing stuff, you know what I mean? I got to the school, they were like the local school heroes. I'm like, yo, who's these guys and shit? You know, they're like, yeah, they rhyme, they do all of this, you know, they be doing shows and, you know what I'm saying, doing this and that. You know what I mean? My man C Major, another brother from my crew, he kind of introduced me to them and stuff. And I was just so drawn to them and just like, yo, they doing what I want to be doing. I want to be performing. I never performed. I never was in no group before that. You know what I mean? I never was even writing rhymes like that before I got with them. But somehow, some way, you know, I spit a freestyle. They liked it. Mm-hmm. And maybe a day or two later, man, Simon was like, yo, would you be interested in joining the group, man? You know, we think you dope, blah, blah, blah. We want you to be a part of the group. And I was like, what? Nigga, that's what's up. Let's do it. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what I was trying to do anyway. You know what I mean? I was like, yo, I got to be a part of this, man. They're the popular niggas in the school. They got everything on lock. They're from New York like me, blah, blah, blah. And you know what I mean? So it was like, yo, bomb, that was it. So I got in. We did a show like maybe a week later, like a school show. Or, like, you know how they used to have those school dances and shit like that? So we did like a show, and from there, it was on.
So this question is for both of y'all, and I'm going to start with Key to Life on this one. Like, y'all both being from New York, like, how did y'all feel when New York just made, like, a drastic change in the sound?
You know, I was hating it. I'm going to keep it 100. I was not loving that. You know what I mean? You feel me? I mean, no disrespect to that sound or that movement, you know what I'm saying? That was their thing, and it was, you know, doing that. And then at that time, you know, I'm living in Miami, you know what I mean? You know, when that sound change kind of started and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So I was upset, man. I'm like, hold up, man.
I would first want to confirm when you said the sound changing, what era, what time would you say it started changing?
I think it was like sometime in the 2000s. Like, I remember, you know, going to New York and everything was like drill music and trap music, and it sounded like they was trying to sound like down south, but it wasn't really down south, man, like we do down south, you know.
Yeah, so what you're talking about is like around 2001, 2002, maybe, when Atlanta, yeah. T.I., Jeezy. So I was actually living in New York at that time, and I could tell you, not only did the sound change, but the entire culture influence changed. I was living down south. I was living down south in the 90s.
Yeah.
I lived down south in the 90s for like 6-7 years, and I could tell you.
Okay.
When I went back up north, in the late 90s, by the time Cash Money, Jeezy, and T.I. came about, dudes was rocking Dickies in New York. Dudes was rocking clothes. Dudes started leaving their house in slides. Like, so when you're talking about hip hop, you're talking about culture, you're talking about lifestyle.
Yeah.
In Florida, it used to blow my mind when dudes used to be just walking outside, running around, playing basketball in slides. And the influence got so big that people in New York started doing that exact thing. So the people that was trying to get on, yeah, they were sounding like the South, but New York still had its root. New York still had its core.
You still
had dudes on Stretch and Bobbito. You still had dudes rhyming. You still had the live shows, the open mics where dudes were still rapping. But from the major level that you're talking about, like radio and, you know, 106 and Park type shit, they was on some real South shit. I wasn't a fan of it because it didn't seem natural. It kind of seemed everybody was chasing a dollar at that point. So they was like, yo, it's like you living in your hood and you see a nigga selling crack, right? And you not only are you seeing the money that they're making, but you're seeing the other side of the coin, right? You're seeing mothers lose their teeth. You're seeing babies leave the house with shitty diapers, and you're just like, damn, this is fucked up. But then at the other side, you're seeing dudes pulling up and shit that you never seen before. So you're looking at it and you're saying, if some people are willing to do whatever it takes to make paper. And that's how I was like, damn, that's just, it was whack to me. You know what I'm saying?
How do y'all feel about the current state of the music business compared to what we know from the 90s?
You know, well, all things definitely do change, man. And that was a whole different time period, man. The way you had to get on, the way you had to really know someone that connects with the record companies or able to get your music to them. So it was a whole different complex in the 90s, man. You know what I mean? Purely based off of skill, you know, who was vouching for you. Who was saying, yo, that nigga's nice, that nigga's nasty, fuck, you know what I mean? And then as it started getting more popular and growing more, you know, that's when the business side crept in. And you know what business is? Business as usual. They don't care about that talent or skill, you know what I mean? What they're seeing is, we can definitely promote that and make, you know what I mean? You know, put a dollar behind it and, you know, generate that money, you know, which is all good. But, you know, once that business thing got into play, that's where everybody started thinking they're a fucking business owner or businessman. Now everybody's so concerned with, yo, how many units they sold in the first week? Yo, how many numbers they got? You know what I mean? Instead of, yo, that album's dope, niggas is nasty, or yo, he's nasty, she's nasty. You know, it started getting into more business politics of the things. And that's kind of, you know, where it kind of went sour for, you know, those true carry tradition, you know, MCs and, you know, groups and stuff like that. Not saying that business side, some of that music was all right. You know what I mean? I ain't going to lie. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to knock it. But once business corrupts, man, you know, You already know.
And do you think we gotta go ahead?
I was gonna ask you about what you asked him, but if you got something you want to add to what he's saying, you know, do your thing.
Nah. Cool. I was gonna ask something else, but go ahead.
Oh yeah, because I was just gonna say your question was the business from the 90s to now, but what was your whole question?
How do you feel about the current state of the music business compared to like what we know from like the 90s and before? You know what I'm saying? Like now everything's streaming and we got away from physical product. And I feel like artists that were unsigned and on independents that weren't signed to majors, they allowed major labels to pretty much dictate where they distribute their music, the value of how much they distribute their music. And it just doesn't make sense. It's like, why would you let somebody dictate, you know, that actually if you're a major artist, you got to let the labels pretty much dictate where it's distributed and stuff like that. But if you're unsigned and independent, why would you let somebody that you're not even in business with, that you have no dealings with, dictate the value of your music? I think that's why cats like Nipsey try to, you know, he was selling his $100 albums, or I think it was $100 an album. You know, like,
yeah,
understood, like, yo, I can't fall into this trap of, like, we went from where you could sell a single, 1,000 singles for, like, $2-3 a pop, and that's $3,000 of revenue, and now they're telling you it's only $4 per 1,000. I mean, that's a drastic...
Yeah, so that's drop. That's a drastic change, and the thing is, it's a double-edged sword what you're talking about, right? Because you might have a different perspective of it in the 90s. Like you being from the South, you said North Carolina. I'm not too savvy with the history of North Carolina, but I do know a lot of the independent grinds and a lot of independent artists in places like Texas and obviously like Master P in New Orleans. And shout out to Luke. One of the OGs, you know what I'm saying?
I would throw the West Coast in there too. The West Coast is pretty independent.
100%. 100%. Too Short? And what was homeboy name with all the crazy E40? With all the crazy wordplay he used to have? E40 was super independent. So what you're talking about is from the 90s to now, and you got to look at it from a lens of, people up north always had instant access to record labels. So open mics was always the culture in New York, right? So shout out to ELW. Shout out to ELW. That was one of the longest lasting open mics in New York at the time that you're talking about, from like 90s all the way to like 2000s and stuff. And my point is, you would have A&Rs just pop up in the cut. You would have different record execs just catching a drink, just chilling, you know what I mean, at the bar. And if you did your thing, you made some noise, you know, you might get invited to you know, going up to the 26th floor, you know what I'm saying? A beautiful view maybe off of Broadway or, you know, 6th Avenue, things of that nature. So the view on how you looked at things in the 90s is totally different. The business side, I would talk more about the genres of hip hop. Although they dictated policy of when your music came out, they still allotted different styles of music and hip hop to be out in the stores, right? In comparison to now, where it's like you said, you're independent. You got the opportunity to do your own thing. Yeah, you got to play the game for what it is. You know what I'm saying? I might have to stream the next 2-3 albums. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, I got my own video camera. I shoot my own videos. I know how to edit my pictures. I know how to create commercials. So I know how to save a dollar in the long term to make a dollar. And they couldn't really do that like that in the 90s, right? You had to really... Hype Williams had videos that was for like $1 million, man. You know, so it's a totally different ball game. What I would say though, man, is that you have the power to create your own universe. You have the power to create your own structural business. You know what I'm saying? I salute all the artists because I was a youth. I was in my teens. My whole 90s career, I was a little teenager just running around freestyling. I never took music serious. I could tell you stories of being around a lot of official in the game artists at the time, but I never really took it serious at that time in my life. I could tell you now, though, that the opportunities are endless in this time if you understand the structure of business. You know what I'm saying? So that's the way I look at it. You can make it whatever you decipher it as in this day and time.
Yeah.
I just think like artists have been brainwashed with this streaming though and this Spotify thing. Like the thing that they don't understand is when you get past Spotify's playlist, I would argue that 90% of independent playlists and maybe 93, 94, 95% of independent playlists all use bots.
100%. So, 100%. They're cracking down on that now, too. You know what I'm saying? If you heard about Ice Spice whole situation, she lost mad followers.
Yeah, but they're only cracking down on people that they don't typically got deals with, you know? People that they know that they're not really in business with, that's not with the majors. And part of that is like they're trying to gatekeep distribution and everything again, in my opinion, you know.
Yeah.
Like they used to.
I would say if we were having this conversation a year ago, I would completely agree with you. But what just happened between mm-hmm. everybody getting fired, all the artists getting dropped from the labels, one of the reasons why is because that like that's side deals. Like the same dudes that's paying for the box is the same ones that's getting payout. You know what I'm saying? It's like if I own three corner stores and I got milk on sale for $4.99 and you're going across the street to go get the milk because it's on sale over there, but I own the corner store that's on the other side of the street and I'm selling for $5.99, we all gonna eat regardless. My point though is that right now, the reality is that this whole structure that we're talking about as far as record labels and all of that stuff, soon all that whole gatekeeping talk is going to change. They're going to figure out another way because you see what the whole social media, I noticed with J. Cole and Kendrick and all of them starting to drop their new exclusive disses on social media pages. So yeah. I think they're turning pages and figuring out ways now to capitalize off of social media. But I tell everybody what I tell myself. We got to be completely independent long term. I completely agree with you. We all got to get our own websites. We all got to start pushing people to our own web pages. But we have to be realistic and use all platforms as they are designed. We still got to use the Instagram. We still got to use the YouTube. But we got to start pushing people to our own side of the street and say, yo, pull up and check this out over here. You know, long term, that has to be the ultimate goal because what you're saying is relevant. But I think the tables are starting to turn a little bit.
But the only problem I have with streaming, like you said, YouTube is important. I feel like TikTok is really good for breaking artists because they breaking records from the 70s all over again. Like that dude, Bobby Caldwell, who nobody even knew Bobby Caldwell was a white dude. I didn't know, you know, but they broke the song again. But the problem with streaming is you can't really engage on it. If they just add comments, it'd be a game changer. They just add comments where people can comment on the songs, you can reply.
Yeah,
it'd be a game changer, but there's no real engagement on streaming. So you gotta build up the YouTube, you gotta build up the Instagram, you gotta build up the Twitter and the Facebook, and get them to go over there and your website and everything else. But let's move on with that. Y'all two as a duo, who would y'all like if y'all had to compare yourself to another duo in hip hop? Who would y'all compare yourselves to?
Man, that's a hard question, man.
Like Smith and Wesson or something like that?
Yeah, in that line of caliber, you know, definitely Marv, Smith and Wesson, CNN.
Capone and Oi.
Definitely, you know what I mean? In the sense of the type of music we create.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So, you know, definitely along those lines, for sure.
I would, brothers, I, 100%. Who you spoke on is all OGs, and they deserve their salutes. And but what I would say, we would have to compare to one of the people in the group would have to be a producer also. You know what I'm saying? From my perspective, because I've known Bogey as an artist, and then I learned over time that all the joints that he was putting out, he was making all his beats too. You know what I'm saying? So I would say,
okay, I got one for you.
I have to go back to
Mobb Deep,
EPMD,
Mobb Deep,
Mobb Deep for sure. Okay. Yeah. I would say EPMD or Mobb Deep. When the album was first complete, we were putting together the structure, executive producing the album. I was like, yo, bro, I ain't gonna lie, man. Your beats is like Havoc level. You know what I'm saying? The drums.
Yeah,
is
we
hard.
Always said that. Like, yo, you got that like, mob feel. Like, it's bringing back that griminess or that feel per se. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like Havoc and Prodigy, Mobb Deep type.
That Infamous is my favorite album of all time in hip hop. So.
Wow. So that's my
number one hip hop album of all time. Like over Illmatic and whatever anybody says. I gotta go with Infamous all time.
Part two, best beat of all time.
Crazy. I mean, that was the theme music through 8 Mile, pretty much.
Crazy, you know?
Prodigy, my number two, man. Top number two all time, man. Nas number one, Prodigy right there.
Yeah, that's hard. Rest in peace, Prodigy.
On this album, do y'all got a song that y'all feel like stands out above the rest on this album?
Oh man, we definitely got some standouts, man. I've heard from various other people that there's some good standouts. Which ones are they? You know, I'm not really sure, but for me, you're done, no. Miami Mass Transit, Magic with the Rod. You know what I mean? So, Vivid. Yo, man, the fucking whole album, bro. It's just nice, man. You feel me? Because I could just keep going. Each joint is different from the other, but they all got their got something they bring that makes you feel like, oh, this one, my joint for today. Because it always switch up for me, you know what I'm saying? The next day could be something different. I don't know how you feel, Keith, man. What you feel?
Man, off top, what you said is 100%, man. It switches based on, like, at the time I'm listening to it. Right now, I would have to say, man, it's Magic with the Rock. I think Magic with the Rock needs sync play. I think EA Sports need to holler at me. Holler at Bogey. We need to be on the next video game for that one.
Like NBA 2K? NBA 2K or something?
Yeah.
Definitely. We need that endorsement, man. If you're out there, we'll watch your highlights.
I think Amtrak need to highlight us for the Miami to Mass Transit. You know what I'm saying? It's a dope song. Not only the bar is crazy, but it's conceptual. And like Bogey was saying, man, every track, you can't say one track sound like the other. So it's really preference. But off top, I would say Vivid, Magic with the Rock, and Miami Mass Transit right now. Yeah, for sure.
And Bogey, you did a production on this, the whole album?
Yeah, the whole album, bro. You go to my catalog, anything you see on there, man, I produce everything, bro. Not to say that I wouldn't get any beats from anybody else in Rotterdam as well, but I know what I like. I know what I like to hear myself over. So it makes it that much easier for me.
And I know this is like a common sense question, but what's y'all's ultimate goal in the music business?
Just to be able to share the music with the world, with the people, those that want to, get involved with it, the end goal for me, man, I'm not looking, for no deals or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to be up in everybody's face, you know what I'm saying? Yo, do this, put me on, you know what I mean? I just want to be able to put out dope music, man. You know, if the people mess with it, great. If not, I love that as well, man. Cause me, I got to accept both sides of the coin. You know, I can't just be like showing love to all the people that love it or, you know, it's messing with it. But I got to be like, yo, you don't like it. You ain't feeling it. All right. I agree. You know, you got your opinion. You know, thank you. I appreciate that, too. You know, so for me, I just want to be able to just put the music out for the people. If something happens that makes sense, you know what I mean? Then, you know, we can definitely talk business on that end. But you know what I mean? Me, I'm just fucking putting the music out, you know, because I can, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to, you know, sit here and just waste talent and, you know, just waste all this music that I have and shit. I'm going to constantly just be putting out music, regardless if it gets to the next level and something happens where, you know, we're on that stage or I'm just putting out the music and three people loving it, whatever the case may be. I'm going to just do it because that's how much I love the music and a part of the culture, you know what I mean? So I'm just here to contribute. If something happens, Lord willing, God bless. Otherwise, you know, I'm going to just keep dropping joints, bro.
So, Key, is that the same for you?
Pretty much musically, yeah. But I mean, me personally, man, I want to establish a media company overall. You know, like what you were saying, it's to the point where it's like we need to stop talking about what they're doing. We need to focus more about what we're doing because it should be conglomerates at this point in time. You know what I'm saying? If you can make music, you can make beats. If you can make music, you know somebody who make beats. If you can make beats and make music, you know somebody who can shoot videos. At this point in time, we should be establishing conglomerates where it's like we are our own entity. We create our own sound. Yeah. We create our own style. We are forerunners of the culture. You know, we control the culture. Reality, what we wear is what dictate policy. How we move is what people acknowledge, you know what I'm saying? So it's like,
yeah,
I want to have a media company long term, and I want to put other artists on, you know what I'm saying, to Life Sounds. And I don't gotta necessarily sign you, but you know, I want to build a platform where, you know, music that I think is groundbreaking and something that could be pivotal to society, you know what I'm saying, needs to be heard on a bigger plateau. So that's my end game.
Yeah, definitely. You know, and to piggyback off that, yeah, definitely. You know, if I'm able to, you know, get in a lane where I could just be producing for up and coming hip hop artists, boom bap artists, you know, lyricists, you know, stuff like that, I'm definitely in for that. You know what I mean? But you know, overall, man, I just want to put out good music, man. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
All right, so this next question is for Key. I seen on your bio said you did some songs with Finesse Mitchell, Thurston Howell III, Mega, Rick Ross, and many more. Any one of your features for you that like, or the people you work with that kind of stand out the most?
So when you read that, it's I actually did videography work for some of those people, and I did photography.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying, for some of those people. So with Finesse Mitchell, I actually worked for him when he was in Miami. He did a Miami improv. Okay. So I did some I got booked for some photography work for him. With Thurston Howell, I've done some video work for him. I've done a scene in the if you ever seen the Return of the Puerto Rican, that video, I did a scene with him and his son. When they playing the trumpet, you know what I'm saying? I did that shot. I did a whole video for Thirst and the dude out of Colorado, shout out to Blanco, you know what I'm saying? So the Rick Ross joint, I did some behind the scenes work for Rick Ross. He did a feature for this dude up from Jersey. He came down to Miami.
Okay.
They rented out a little yacht. So I did some behind the scenes video work for that one. So yeah, man, what I'm telling you is, bro, like I've literally I make music, man. I love hip hop. Hip hop or being an artist is what I do. Over time, yeah, I've grown octopus arms, and I've done photography work. I've done video work for other artists and just people in the game, you know what I'm saying?
Now, how'd y'all feel about the whole Drake and Kendrick feud?
I mean, honestly, bro, I didn't feel anything. You know what I'm saying? put your music out. Period.
Yeah.
I don't care nothing about the behind the scenes. Who said what? Who did this? Oh, I thought you said that. That's that bullshit. Put your music out. Honestly, to answer your question, I didn't have a thought about it.
Do you feel like they was even really putting out battle tracks at all? I didn't really feel like they was putting out battle tracks.
They put out battle tracks, but they also, you know, man, we living in a time, man, where things, we just can't look at things from a musical standpoint, right? Because it's like the artists are signed to different artists or they're signed to different companies. And this company is owned by this person. And that person is signed to that person, but that person is ran by the same person. So it's kind of like, you know, like you ever seen The Godfather? You seen the logo for The Godfather? What is that shit?
Like a puppeteer type of thing.
It's like, yo, we got to look at these things from different lenses at this point in time, because it's like, it's not what it used to be, bro. It's so corporate that your lens on what you're listening to has to be more in tune with what the reality is. And because of that, like the brother Bogey said, man, to say it simply, man, it's like, come on, man. We know what's going on. You don't gotta say much, but we see what's happening.
It makes no sense, man. Like, why our culture and genre of music always gotta be going against each other? Like, yo, this just music and art enough for everybody just to put, you know, your stuff out and just be who you are. You know what I mean? I know hip hop came up off of battling and shit. Yeah, that was the culture. But yo, why things gotta be based off that? You know what I mean? Like, yo, I'm better than you.
I think this one was clearly egos.
Yeah, man, after I put this song out, your career is over, or you know what I'm saying? That bullshit, man. I ain't with none of that bullshit, man. That nigga see me in the street, man. Do not approach me or none of that bullshit, B. I'm not with it, B.
Yeah, they're never gonna see each other, man. It's like this.
Do the music,
they're
man.
Not
just
gonna
put
see
the music
each other.
Out. They're both great artists, man. Just put the music out.
They probably won't even call each other and talk to each other. It's like, you know, it's entertainment, you know, and it's all true. Good. Yeah. Listen, Kendrick is nice at what he do.
Right.
Whatever Drake does, like himself, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the package is popular. And we're living in a time where talent and popularity somehow has collided into these two worlds. And when that happens, those two words, the definitions are total different. Those are two totally different words, but in this day and time, they are considered the same thing. So that's what I think about it. It doesn't really make sense to me. You know what I'm saying?
Respect to both of those brothers. I hope all your dreams, wishes, plans, and prayers, you know, come true. Otherwise, you know, just put the fucking music out, man. Just fucking be hip hop, man.
Yeah.
And it's crazy you brought up the Godfather thing, because I just put out a clip today from an artist that I interviewed a while back, PB Pluto, and he was basically talking about everybody in the industry is pretty much has strings being pulled by somebody else. You know, you just don't know who it is all the times. All right, we're about to be reaching that hour mark, too.
I wanted to ask you real quick, Paul. How you pronounce your last name?
As an artist, it's Paul Masson, but my government's Paul Pickett.
Okay. That's dope, because I thought you was gonna say Masson, because it reminds me of Masson. Liquor. I'm gonna tell you some funny shit, real shit. Like back in the day, right?
I'm drinking right now, nigga.
In the winter time, when it gets cold, right? You gotta drink dark liquor. right? Because dark yeah. liquor kind of sticks to you hard.
You know, Paul Masson's a poor man's Hennessy, man. For all y'all
that don't know. So with that being said, when we couldn't afford Henny,
we went to the Paul Masson.
Paul Masson. You know what I'm saying? Paul Masson, Jay was, we learned from the elders, Kirk and Jerk, Easy Jesus. We did not work with
That'll have you going bananas in the streets.
Yo, shout out to Paul Masson, man. That shit kept niggas walking blocks comfortably,
For those that know, that's the poor man's Hennessy, man.
That's like, I had a song back in the days called The Name Rings Bells, and that was the whole concept. If you didn't know me as an artist, you knew the liquor name, you know what I'm saying? So the name rung bells either way. Because I used to be called Eternal Life, and then somebody's like, yo, we got Paul drinking Paul one day. I'm like, yo, what are we drinking? He's like, Paul Masson, and it just stuck to me. I'm like, yo, Paul Masson. I kept saying it like, yo, yeah, I'm going with that, man. Paul Masson, and that's pretty much been the name since.
Oh, so you used to rap.
Go ahead.
That's what's up. So you used to rap.
I'm like Bogey said, I just do it still because I can, pretty much.
Yeah. Right? Okay. You better send me some joints.
I'll send you some joints. I got a record with Lady Luck. I got a record with Rampage from Flip Mode.
That's
and
crazy.
One with Phantasm from the Cellar Dwellers and whatnot as well.
Shout out to Lady Luck.
Big up the Phantasm.
Yeah.
Shout out to T-Neck. Shout out to all my peoples in T-Neck. Big up Lady Luck.
Word. She L.
I remember her from Hot 97. That's how she came up. To EPMD.
If somebody goes the first time, what can they expect?
Oh man. You know, dope beats, you know what I'm saying? Raw beats, dope boom back beats. Shit that just make you want to write some L shit too, you know what I mean? You're hearing you like, oh man, I'm gonna just write some crazy shit, you know what I mean? So, you know, and then with me. My production style, you know what I mean? Niggas don't steal my shit because I'm about to give you a little gem. But with me, you know, I always like to start my joints off with like a little clip or something. You know what I mean? Always pertaining to the album itself, the album title. Okay. But a little clip or something because you know what that does? And again, don't steal my niggas. It kind of like, you know, gets you prepared for what you're about to come into. It kind of, you know, brings you into that world. So I always like to find an ill clip or something that's going to be saying something, again, pertaining to the album or the title of the album, you know, that gets you ready. And then when you hit that first beat drop, like I said, just ill boom back, that make you want to write the ill lyrics and shit. And, you know, with me, I always want to make sure my songs are songs that, you know, are all around connected to a song, meaning that the title is incorporated with, you know, what you're writing about. Your hook matches what you're, you know, writing about in the verse. You know, because a lot of times motherfuckers just put out songs and they say a hook, the shit don't even match what the song's about. So I always like to make sure that I'm crafting, you know, a well-rounded, you know, piece of material from the hook to the title, everything coincides. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I mean, what they're gonna hear is just beats and rhymes, man. Like if you listen to beats because they sound good, and you listen into rhymes because people are actually saying something in their music, you're gonna like this album. You're gonna like something on this album. I guarantee you're going to like something on this album, and you're not going to say no tracks. None of these tracks is whack. There's not going to be one track you're like, oh, that shit was kind of, that couldn't have been on the album. We put together projects, you know, this is not like single Frisbees that we're trying to like make a million off of each single. We think in longevity, we think in catalog, we think in library, you know what I'm saying? So that's what you're going to get. You're going to get real music.
Yeah, real music. Like I
definitely
said,
like
real
what
songs.
I heard so far.
Did you hear the album? Like, what song stood out for you?
I mean, like I heard some of the the joints when I was doing the stories. I don't remember the titles of them, but from what I heard, all the beats sounded pretty dope. The flows was pretty dope. It sounded, it gave you a nostalgic feel of the boom bap, but you could tell it was more of an updated sound, you know. And that's one thing sometimes I don't like when cats, like, they're going for boom bap, but it sounds too much like it's the 90s. It should be in the 90s, opposed to being an album that should be out now, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Appreciate that. Word.
And I'm gonna, you said some tracks. I'm definitely gonna review some tomorrow. At least one or two tracks tomorrow, you know, since I did the interview with you. So y'all be in the running for song of the day tomorrow. Last week John B got it, so hopefully we don't got no John B records this week. Yeah, John B got it.
John B,
it's pretty dope. Yeah,
that's what's up, man. I'm up with John B, man. Tell him I need to. Tell him I need
John
him
B,
on
John B. Yeah,
yo, that's John B, John crazy. Yo, that's wild. John B.
John B, that's crazy, man. My man, 777 and shit. Back when he was in LA and shit, my brother 777, he actually did a song with John B. You know what I'm saying? Produced by Will I Am and shit, man. So that's crazy.
Yeah, he got a new joint called Natural Drug. And I'm not going to lie, man. When I heard it, I was just like zoning out. Like, wow, this cat still got it, man. You know, because sometimes cats take a hiatus and they lose it.
Right. That's a fact.
That's 100% true.
But then you got those that just can't move in this shit. You know, that shit is just in them. It's not on them. They ain't
like Redman. Like Redman.
Word. It's in them. You know,
what about Redman?
Y'all seen that new Redman freestyle? Like Redman? You seen the new Redman freestyle?
Yeah, man. That's going crazy.
I heard it.
Crazy.
Yeah, I heard some. I heard some of it. I heard people saying that. I heard this interview saying that he was saying some people fell off, and that's what made me say, "Damn, let me hear what Redman talking about," because he put Redman in the category, like saying his new music was like under par, and I've heard any new Redman in so long. I was like, "Damn, let me see what are you talking about?" You know, So I'm not too savvy on his new joints. I think I heard one of his joints, man. But I mean, he's a legend, man. Like, you know, some people you just can't. You just gotta allow it, man. You gotta allow people to grow. You gotta allow people to just do them. Like you said, Paul. Like, you know, you're still making music. You don't. You probably don't care what nobody think about your shit because you like it. You know, it comes a point in your life where you reach a certain level where you just like, yo, you like it, it's cool.
Exactly.
I'm gonna just still do my thing, you know what I'm saying? Right. So it's like I would never say you know, Redman is whack. I don't care if he puts out five albums that I don't like, I'm never gonna say he's whack, you know what I'm saying? So he's a legend. Whack,
man. Yeah, yeah. Salute Redman.
This shit he put out was so dope. When you go watch, Method Man went first, Raekwon went second or third, and I was like, man, Ray shouldn't even been on there, because Ray went behind Red after what he said, man. I mean, just the animation in it. He said the new generation, their goat is Lil Wayne. For me, it's Billy Dan's and Little Fame. And I was just like, wow. Like this, oh man, this cat is just, he's amazing, man. He's amazing. Some people still got it, and then some people they lose it, man.
Don't sleep on meth though. That nigga meth been killing every verse.
He did his thing, but when you do it like Red did it, it's like almost nobody.
Yeah,
really,
you know, Red's more animated. Red's more, you know, he's more in your face with it.
Character. He's a character.
Yeah, definitely. You know, strong character trait. You know what I mean? So,
Shout out to all three of them, man. Like, you know, I can't say anything negative about none of them because Muddy Waters played in my tape deck till it popped. I remember when Muddy Waters first came out, that was like one of the first CDs I ever got. You know, that was like when CDs like just first really just like, you know, Virgin Record stores and the B Streets, like you was like, damn, when you pulled out a CD, you couldn't believe it. Like I was grabbing that shit like, what the fuck is this? I used to use that shit as a mirror sometimes, like, this is crazy. So Muddy Waters is
get to play no joints though.
I'm gonna do them tomorrow on the music reviews. I don't really play joints in interviews typically.
Oh, that's cool.
And whatnot.
Not to cut your wisdom, my brother. My fault.
Nah, it's all good. It's all good. You got me. Nah, you got me on memory lane just to think like, damn, because I can't tell you the last time I heard those three on an album together. I think the words you talk better be the words you walk. Body you in the bed where the nurses are. That was the last time I heard Redman on a track with a bunch of different like Wu-Tang artists. I'm like, I gotta check that shit out. That's crazy.
Well, that was off of Wu's album, right?
Yeah, I forgot which one. I think it was the one that had like the fucking when they were acting that like cavemen.
I know what you're talking about. That was like the Swarm or something like that.
Might have been like the third album. I forgot the name of it.
Was that called like the Swarm or something?
It might be. You know, I'm not too savvy on names. Are they albums?
I wasn't big on that album. Yeah, I wasn't big on that album.
That album was like you know, you could tell it kind of just got back together. Like, yo, let's just make some music. You know, dude's probably been around the world 3-4 times by then, and you know what I'm saying? Like, hanging out with their grandkids, and you know what I'm saying? Life just, you know, it's life. Just
well, they the biggest hip-hop group of all time, without a doubt.
Oh, 100%.
You know, rest in peace, Old Dirty Bastard. That was my guy, you know what I mean? ODB,
rest in peace. Rest in peace, ODB. Rest in peace, Real. There's a
and crazy there's a story.
Dude, you ever listen to any of Ghostface joints when he had dude singing? That was a dude by the name of Rail. He passed away like about 13 years ago, man. Just real quick, because it's the second album. I went to the studio where a lot of that was made at. It was in Brooklyn, man, at this building called Restoration, and Rail actually brought me to that spot with a couple of other brothers, man. And he was a dope singer, and he was affiliated to Wu-Tang. And Wu-Tang is legends, man. Legends, man. What they did, I will never be done again. Nine artists all together, different styles.
Yeah,
man. All killing it, like crazy.
You had to
crazy.
Be there, man. Yeah, I'm glad I was able to you know what I'm saying, kind of, you know, be right there, you know what I'm saying, arm reach, you know what I'm saying, like, again, rest in peace of my man Dirty Bastard and shit, you know, man.
Yeah.
Alright, before we let y'all go, any shout outs y'all want to do?
Yeah, man, shout out to you, man, shout out to Paul, man. Appreciate you know what it. I'm saying, thank you for having us, man, because I remember when I did hit you up and shit, you was like, yo, not right now, you know, but I'm gonna keep you in mind. Then, you know, I didn't forget about it. I was like, man, I'm moving. Yeah, no doubt, baby.
Yeah, I was moving, hit me, so it took about 2 weeks to move.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then you hit me and was like, yo, you still ready? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, yo, that just, you know what I'm saying? That just gave me mad respect and love for you, my brother. I really appreciate it. We appreciate it. You know, our shout outs, man, I want to shout out my Unknown Fleet brothers. You know who you are. Big up to the Unknown Fleet. Big up to my 305 Miami Low Life family. You know who you are, you know. Big up to the Orlando Low Life my family. You know, big up to the Low Lives worldwide, you know. And yeah, go check out that joint, man. Bo's the Keys, man, you know. It's a real, real special album, man. Real special, man. That's all I can say.
Yeah, no doubt. 100%, man. Shout out to Paul, man. For real, man. Because I've been checking out your interviews, man. Professional. You know, you're professional. You got everything laid out. Everything looked clean. You know what I'm saying? This is the kind of platforms artists need to go on. You know what I'm saying? Make their voices heard. Shout out to the whole family. Shout out to Low Life Miami family. Shout out to you know, everybody in the team. Shout out to the Low Zone. Shout out to ATL Low Life, man. Shout out to all my family, man. Shout out to all my peoples that's been hitting me up, you know, telling me that the music is dope. Shout out to everybody that purchased the album. You know, and 2025, man, you know, I'm looking forward to it, man. I mean, this album is still growing legs, man. So it's just gonna propel into 2025, man. So I'm looking forward to everybody that's just trying to build, man, on a professional level, man.
It's 2025, man. You know, I got a few solo albums about to drop, man. I'm gearing up for. So be on the lookout for that. You know, y'all need beats, man. Holla at me. Bogey.Black, man. Hit me up. Y'all need those crazy boom bap joints, man. Holla at me, man. And,
I'm dropping a single towards the end of the year, going towards the next album that's dropping first quarter. So solo joint, 100%. And that's what it is, man. Shout out to Bogey.
It's all about that Bogey the Keys. Yeah, man. Right 100%. Now, it's all about Bogey the Keys, man.
100%.
Stream it, download it, buy it. You know, great Christmas present for all you boom bap heads out there, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, get familiar with it, man. Trust me. And if you think it's whack, comment on my page. Tell me what track is whack.
Yeah,
and I want to hear what you think is fire.
We love it all, man. Like I said a little while ago, man. You know, we can't just be biased to one side of the coin. I respect and love those that love it and appreciate it, and I also respect and love those that hate it. Or it's gonna be like, yo, this shit's whack. I love you guys. You know, appreciate.
I respect anybody who takes the time to listen to people's music.
You know what I mean? Regardless of what
who's not
side of the coin,
who's not on Hot 97, who's not on the top page, the World Star, doing a feature with your favorite artist.
I respect
independent thinkers. Shout out to all my independent thinkers who know what they like and seek for what they want, because that's what life is. You gotta go get it.
Again, man, we welcome both sides of the coin, man. Hate it or love it.
Well, I appreciate you, man.
Shout out to
as soon as I get off here, I'm gonna get on here and throw the video through the AI. We're gonna try to put out at least one or two clips for tonight as well, too.
No doubt.
You know, and we're gonna have many,
probably
at least a good dozen good clips or more to put out. You know what I'm saying?
Man, appreciate it. And again, man, sorry about the lateness, man.
It's
sorry
all
about
good.
The technical difficulties, man. But my brother Key to Life was holding it down. You know what I mean? So that's how we move, man. You know, one soldier down, next one right behind. Know what I mean?
100%, 100%. That's how we did it for the whole album. You know what I'm saying?
And we'll get y'all back on in 2025, man. You know, you say y'all got solo stuff coming out, so, you know.
Yes, sir.
And I'm probably want to holler at you too, Key to Life, because, you know, I got the bare knuckle interviews I do with the BKFC and the BYB and whatnot. So, you know, I'm pretty sure we can figure some things out, man. Probably be some work in there for you.
Sounds good. You know,
the fighters always need like video work as well too. So you know what I'm saying. So
yeah, get out my man. He's fucking a great video photographer, man. Exceptional,
man.
Word up.
100%. Yo, Paul, man. I appreciate you, bro. I appreciate the platform.
Yes, sir.
And I appreciate this interview tonight, man.
Thank you, man. Look, thank you, man. Great
The next time we have this interview, we gotta end it with top shelf Paul Masson. We gotta end it with a shot of Paul Masson. It's not official unless we have Paul Masson in the cipher. Because Bogey was prepared. I got some Johnny Walker Blacks, so I ain't gonna front like you know what I'm saying? But salute.
No doubt.
I'm gonna have to put y'all onto the Dizzle too. We got our own liquor brand, agave tequila, cognac, orange liquor, mango mix, based out of Cali, and we're like Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Cali.
Yeah, send me a bottle, B. Send me a bottle.
Yeah, I'm gonna holler at the owners.
That's what up, man.
You get you something.
Listen, yeah, no doubt.
But I appreciate y'all coming on, man. And
100%.
Yeah, thank you, man.
To me, man.
Right. Yo, you already know, man. 2025, look out for Black Bogey Music, man. I'm telling you, key to life. Yo, 2025, right now is the time for Bowls to Keys. Go get that. Salute.
Yeah, salute. Big up all the monument on the place.
All right,
yo.
All right, fellas. Yo,
at Key to Life. At Key to Life. Everything Key to Life. You heard? Key to Life. Everything. All social media platforms. Peace.
Word up. One.
Well, there you have it. Another episode live for Vietnam. Yours truly, the one and only Paul Masson. As you see, they had bottles of Paul Masson over there drinking right now. Poor man's brandy. What can I say? Well, that was a really interesting interview. They produced the whole album themselves. A lot of dope beats, a lot of dope rhymes. Bogues the Keys. I'm gonna be reviewing two or three tracks probably tomorrow. Live from Vietnam. I'll probably go live around 3 or 4 p.m. Eastern time. And probably have a good 15 songs to review. Make sure y'all go to all streaming platforms and check out the album Bogues the Keys, Bogey Black and Key to Life. And if y'all don't know what the key to life is, y'all better figure it out, man. I appreciate everybody tuning in for another episode. See y'all tomorrow. And don't forget, also, I got an interview coming on the Paul Pickett Podcast with CEO Greg Bloom of BYB Extreme Fighting Series. And we got some more interviews on the way in the Paul Pickett Podcast. And we're going to ramp up the React videos here real soon. Peace, and I'm out.